Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, episode 25. This is the episode I think that we've been waiting for 24 episodes to have this one. Except not. So this is the journey of Christine, Gerard and Renzo in getting to our first Ironman 2020. And we had planned to do it on the 29th of March 2020. But you know, life happens. And so I think this episode is dedicated to that. Am I right?
Yeah, yes. I think if we could rewind a week ago, not even in our wildest imaginations, I think we would have sat here trying to figure out what we're going to talk about. Obviously, there's only going to be one topic tonight, but it just shows you how life can throw curveballs. And I do think, and obviously we'll discuss it in more detail during this episode, but I think it's times like this that you really get tested, and it's going to be interesting to see how the world reacts to this.
Yeah. So on that note, I guess what we're really talking about is the worldwide pandemic of coronavirus COVID-19, otherwise known as the cancellation virus.
That's a new one I have not heard.
I take full credit. Unless it's a bad joke, then somebody else will do that.
Yeah, you know, I must admit from our side, when we heard it on Friday, we were very adamant that we're still going through to be and do this. I think purely because of all the effort that we've put in for the training. And yeah. I think sometime over the weekend, reality started to sink in. And obviously after the president's speech last night, you realize, you know what, it's not just about you. It's about the rest of the world out there, especially the ones that can't fend for themselves that much. And it is unfortunate, and I've tried to calculate the amount of money, which at this stage I'm getting anything between 70 to 100,000 rand. And I promise you, I don't have the best bike out there. I don't have the best wetsuit. I don't even want to think what some of the other people have spent on this. And then something I don't want to do is go and calculate the amount of hours that I've trained. But maybe pushing this out for a year, we can actually do a PB on our first one. So I think there's that benefit.
Yeah, we won't be able to be there in November. We can't be there. So on that date.
Oh, okay.
So we've just clicked defer. We got the Ironman email. I'm sure you did as well. Now.
Yeah.
So we just deferred to, I don't know, date to be confirmed 2021. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, just to rewind, so in the introduction, we were speaking about the virus and all of that. I mean, what we haven't been clear about yet, and, you know, assuming that people don't know, is that the event that we were going to compete in a week's time now, just over 2 weeks still, right, has been postponed until the 15th of November. And so Christine, that's what you're talking about, right? Is that we have the option as athletes to either participate on the 15th of November or to defer to a later date. And that's the option you guys have taken. I'm sticking with the November date, but there's no guarantee that it's going to go ahead then.
Yeah.
I mean, even that is a real luck of the draw at the moment.
Yeah, what makes it difficult for us in November is it's both my children's birthday. One is the 14th of November, the other one is the 26th of November. So we've decided that we're gonna rather shift it out. I mean, it's only 4 months later if November does happen. So that's maybe something we can chat about. Is this gonna change over to Road to Ironman 2021 or or just the road to our first Ironman date to be confirmed? But yeah, I think November is going to be a little bit difficult, and we're going to push through to March next year or whatever the date is.
We're also moving in October, not to a new place, well, to a new place, but not to a new city or anything. But it's going to be quite a hectic period of time. It's Gerard's busiest time of year. Like from a work perspective, it just gets absolutely manic. So we just thought, let's just rather do it this time next year. Or whenever it happens next year.
So let me ask you this, and I think tonight, perhaps, I don't know, right? But perhaps in this podcast, I'm wearing more of my coach hat than my participant or my Road to Ironman hat. But where does that leave you feeling in terms of just your emotions, your feelings? You know, So Khaled, you said all of the money that you've spent. I'm probably in the same boat. I haven't dared count up how much money it's cost me so far, and what the next 7 months are going to look like financially. But you know, then there's the amount of hours, and I reset my counter down on my phone yesterday to the new date, and it's 221 days. According to my phone. Now, I don't know if that's accurate, but that's a long time. Yeah. It's nearly a year. It's 8 months.
Mm.
So it's a lot of preparation, and that created a lot of emotion in me. So how's it been leaving you feeling?
Yeah, you know what? Both myself and Christine, it didn't affect us that much. I think partly because I think by nature we're quite resilient, but also because we still thought, okay, well, we'll still go through and do a non-official Ironman distance training weekend. So it almost in the back of my mind, I felt, okay, but I'm still going to do it. And obviously as that possibility started to slip away, then you start to do a lot of introspection, and you decide, okay, what was the reason you wanted to do it in the first place? And for me, and like it, I think we touched on it in the first or second episode of this podcast series, it's for me to become a better version of myself, and I'm chasing an upgrade or an updated version of myself around every corner. And yes, something like crossing the finish line at Ironman would have been a massive upgrade, but each training session is also a big upgrade. So this is just maybe if you realign yourself with the idea of when it does happen for us, potentially March, I don't know, early April next year, I'm gonna be a much better version for my first Ironman then than what I would have been for my first Ironman now. So I'm not gonna stop training, I'm not gonna decrease my intensity. I'm looking at it as a way of, you know what, I actually wanted to focus more on my running after Ironman. I'm going to do that now, focus on the running, but I'll still work in one swim a week and one long cycle a week. And then closer to the Ironman date, I'll start shifting my focus again to triathlon training. But things are back to normal, as much as normal has changed in the last 24 hours. But yeah, I'm still chasing a better version of myself.
Mm. Yeah.
I think something that made it easier to deal with for me was that I have trained alone or with Gerard sometimes for this whole period of time. And I think for someone like you or with our friend James or anyone in a squad environment, I think it's almost like it's not even pressure, but it's the whole the emotions in the whole group of people that have become some of your best friends, and that have really been invested in this journey and part of this journey with you on a level that most other people in your life probably will never get close to. I think in a way, I was fortunate enough not to have been in a squad environment or training group environment that I would have maybe set some very different expectations for myself and maybe felt some more pressure from, and hence there's some more disappointment from when the event was cancelled or postponed, whatever the case is. So a lot, and the reason why I say that is a lot of the reason why I got into triathlon in the first place was because of the people that I became friends with and the people I chose to surround myself with have... When I discovered triathlon, the people at that time in my life were my rocks. They were my pillars of strength at that point. So as much as I got into triathlon initially for a variety of different reasons many years ago, the people and the sense of belonging that came with that as part of a group was very, very important to me. And not having had that now did make it a bit easier because I literally just had myself to talk to about this, and Gerard as well. I mean, we chatted about it and I think we'd almost prepared ourselves in a way. I started getting messages the day before this and that and some rumors, etc. So even from then, I was constantly thinking of, okay, plan B, next option, like what are the blessings? And that's something that I coach with all my clients is look, no matter what the situation, look for the lesson, look for the blessing, look for the light at the end of the tunnel, even in the crappiest situation ever. So I've coached myself into thinking that way. So when I got the news, I wasn't surprised. I almost expected it after all the hours of social media trawling. But my first reaction was, oh man, like, okay, it's not going to happen, but thank goodness, like, I've actually got another year to train for my bike. And like, I'd already put a plan into place. I've got two cycling coaches lined up that I'm going to be spending some time with. So by the time the news came, my plan B was already working in overdrive to kind of embrace that. And okay, what can I do better for this time around, and et cetera, et cetera. So but I do struggle, like the last couple of days. I mean, I've trained. We did a 4-hour ride on Saturday. Today I went and did a 15K run. Tomorrow I've got a swim. Wednesday I've got another bike. So I'm going to carry on with the training, but this goallessness, like sort of this sort of black hole lying ahead, especially with all these changes now and the economic situation we find ourselves in and social situation we find ourselves in, I'm just literally working day by day at the moment, saying, okay, well, this is my goal for today. That's my goal for tomorrow. That's my goal for the next day, because we don't really know what a week will hold, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So I've got some long-term goals and I'm spending quite a lot of time planning on those, but I am struggling a bit with, not with motivation, but just with, just sort of like the why, like, so why am I going for a 15K run today? Like, why?
Yeah.
But then I do always find a reason and then I go do the session, because then when I've got the reason and the purpose, then it's much easier.
Mm.
So.
And I think that has become such an important focus point for me. And it's interesting. So, I mean, just very briefly, I think we all probably experienced the same thing where the rumor started on social media that there was a very good chance that it would be postponed. We were watching other events around the world be cancelled and postponed, other Ironman events, and it felt like it was a matter of time before it was going to reach South Africa.
Mm.
But I spent the whole of Friday in dread for the news.
Mm.
When the news came, I wasn't surprised, but I was hugely disappointed. I was gutted. And I messaged a few of my closest friends, and one of my friends, who I thought was going to be incredibly sympathetic, was completely unsympathetic. He was like, so what's the problem? I don't understand why you're upset. It's like, So that just means when you race, you're going to have had more time to prepare. So what's the problem? And I said to him, yeah, but this is not like CrossFit. It's not like, you know, you go through these phases of building. It's this constant endurance build to your peak over months. And it's fundamentally different. And he was completely disinterested. And it hit me like a baseball bat between the eyes. It was like, he's right. What's the point of being upset? And it does, literally. So, yes, I've spent 9 months preparing. Is that wasted? Hell no. The base of fitness that I've got now and endurance and conditioning that I've got now, when I take a new approach to my training, is just becoming my new foundation. It's becoming my new baseline, and it's fantastic. And so, yes, I mean, what could be possible next when I do eventually race? So it shifted my perspective completely. And so, I mean, coming back to what two of you said, and perhaps what I've said, isn't this like life? I mean, life is like this, right? Like, it doesn't matter whether it's our financial situation or our relationships or our work environment, or we have this buildup and we have this goal and we have this vision and we have this dream and we work as hard as hell to reach it, and then something happens. And something we couldn't control. And then sometimes it pulls the rug out from under our feet. And then what do? A lot of us go and crumble and cry in the corner. Except triathletes, of course. I'm just going to use the word that we learned in the army. We're just so boss before. We just like pick ourselves up and say, okay, what's next?
But that's maybe another way of looking at this from a positive side. I mean, I'm hearing rumors, and here and there on social media, you can hear what's going on in other countries where there's been a lot more like a lockdown situation, and social distancing is on a much higher level than what it is currently in South Africa. But I think that the benefit of being not even just a triathlete, but maybe an endurance sport athlete or weekend warrior or what you want to call it. Our norm is to go and train for at least an hour, at least 5 to 7 times per week. Now, during times where things are as hectic as it is now, I think that one of the only ways that you can keep sane and try and keep your head in the right track and stay positive is going for training sessions where you release endorphins, where you get rid of all the toxic stuff that's building up in your mind. So I do also think, besides leveling up as an individual and becoming better due to the activities that you pursue and the goals you pursue, it's also maybe a constant routine or necessity that you need to build into your life just to keep sane, because we need to face it. Life can literally change within a couple of hours or days. And this coronavirus, as hectic as it is, can maybe just be a glimpse of what the future might hold in for us. So I just think the type of lifestyle that we are maintaining as triathletes and endurance athletes is healthy from a mental side. I mean, Renzo, you can probably share a lot more on that topic with us, but I think it's also almost like a survival mechanism that you need to be ready for the apocalypse at any given moment in time. And we can swim away from zombies, we can cycle away from freaking cyborgs, we can probably run away from Boston dynamic robots. I think these type of things are important.
But also, I was doing quite a lot of research, and I just posted something on social media now about how, from my coaching business's perspective, how to keep your immune system strong. And I mean, the one is to cut out sugar, which I think a lot of triathletes training for an Ironman or any endurance athletes generally take quite seriously as their nutrition for the most part. I'm really generalizing now because not everyone does, but I think based on the discussions we've had, all three of us have been very serious about cleaning up our nutrition for this. And exercise is actually promoted by the World Health Organization to strengthen the immune system, as long as it's not grueling and exceptionally long, hard sessions. So maybe a blessing in disguise. And associated with that is that exercise does lead to better sleep and improved sleep patterns, as well as reduced stress. And those are the other two factors that strengthen your immune system, is lowered stress levels and better sleep. So, you know, all of those aspects are really the pillars that make up a whole triathlete in many ways, from a physical perspective at least, from a health perspective. So it's just quite interesting that they actually promote exercise, which is fantastic, because that's something I think all three of us are just going to keep doing regardless of the ban being put on or the postponement anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and all of the measures that are being put in place to prevent the spread of the virus are already about social communication. So I don't think that it's necessary to stop exercising. I think it's necessary to be clear about how you interact with other people and certainly people you don't know, or all people actually. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, exercise is crucial. So I'm not going to stop. I was very happy with the 21 around on Sunday, but I've got to say, on Saturday, and I know you know this, but on Saturday, I had one of my best rides that I've had in a long time. I took the family and we got on our bikes and we just
chilled
on the promenade and had coffee. And it was just so nice to get on a bike and not have to do a session. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's also something that I think a lot of people have realized, is that this pandemic does also allow you to slow down a little bit and just rethink about what is important in life and family matters, and you can actually lose anybody around the corner. Be thankful for the time you have together, and it doesn't have to be a deep, soggy, long, drawn-out session, but I think it does allow you to be thankful for the time that you do have together. And I mean, we're already looking at activities for the kids to do. We'll be on a 3-day work, 2-day looking after the kids type of schedule between me and my ex-wife. And so at least we can still get work done, but the kids obviously not going to school. They also need to be not watching TV the whole day. There needs to be something that's stimulating and keeps their brains working. There should be one or two sessions where we go and walk around the park just to get outside. I think these are all quite important tips that people can incorporate into their new routines.
Well, on that note, I'd love to read something, if I may. And I think you've read this already, but just for the listeners, because I think it's so valuable what you're saying now, the opportunity to do things differently. It's a conversation we've been having today is, you know, we have to fundamentally rethink our business. Coronavirus is, just to be honest and vulnerable for a moment, what's happening right now with the coronavirus globally could potentially sink my business. I could, in the next 2 months, be bankrupt. If things continue the way they are, in terms of South Africa following the trend of other countries in terms of going into lockdown and isolation structures, and a lot of our customers are international too, so that's already impacting us. So the fact that people are in isolation and lockdown means they're not working, or they're not working at the normal pace, and that impacts their appetite for purchasing services from us. So it's a major thing. Plus, all of our work is face-to-face usually. We do group facilitations, we work in teams. Obviously, that's not possible right now. So we're in a lot of danger as a business. And so we were having a conversation around, so how do we restructure our business so that we don't face that reality and that we can survive as a business? And we're just rethinking a whole lot of stuff. So losing out on participating in Ironman in 2 weeks' time was an emotional blow, but it's a blessing in disguise on so many levels. The need to reinvent our business. I mean, we're just being forced to face the reality that was coming anyway. Mm. It was just too far down the road for us to see it. Now we're being faced with it a lot sooner, and so we have to be a lot more agile. So it's a good thing. And so with all of that being said, my eldest son, who lives in Amsterdam, posted something on social media yesterday. And if I could read it, I'd really appreciate it.
Mm.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Go for it. So
he said, I'm struck by what a weird time this is. The world is being forced to stop. It's poetry in a way that the best, most responsible and human thing we can do right now is to stop. I know that this virus is causing a lot of harm, but maybe it's not all bad. It seems to me that people are being forced to take stock of their lives. People are forced to focus on their immediate environment, to stop living life for work, to focus on self-care and what's truly important. With more and more people suffering from burnout, fatigue, abnormally high stress levels, I think there's something beautiful about the whole world being forced into a mutual pause of the day to day, being forced to just be at home. I'm struck by the videos of communities in Italy singing from their balconies, being forced to stop and connect, even when connecting is made so difficult. Humans at their core will always find a way to come together to heal. We're being forced to look up from the ground and truly see the people around us. And in a way, I just love them. It's just a perspective.
Sure.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing. And it's an amazing perspective. And so around Ironman, what I was saying to my squad was, because, you know, there's been a lot of demotivation after Friday. And I was saying to the guys, well, what is your why? And Khaled, you were speaking to that right at the beginning. You know, you are focused on, and the reason you do this is to build the best version of yourself and to level up constantly. And this is a leveling up that we don't plan for.
Mm.
Because when we spend 4 hours or 6 hours on a bike, we're leveling up our cycling skills. Or when we're running long distance or track, we're leveling up our running skills. But this is leveling up our mental resilience and our psychological resilience and our character. But then the question is, why do we do what we do? Because if we're just focused on Ironman and all about the medal and crossing the finish line, we've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the crossing that finish line is maybe a good indication of how far you've come with the training that you've done, and maybe to a certain extent comparing yourself with the average triathlete out there. There's always some merit there. But like with anything in life, your job, your hobbies, you shouldn't bank on being happy when certain things in those fields takes place, because if that gets taken away from you due to sickness, health, death, or whatever the case might be, then it doesn't mean anything. But if you are pure to your core with what your reason is, then you don't need money, you don't need power, you don't need materialistic things to almost like justify the goal that you're pursuing. It's only makes certain things easier if you've got those things, but it shouldn't justify why you want to try and reach your goal. And it's times like this when that reality sets in and you realize, you know what, we're actually a very small portion of a bigger picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all like deep in thought here. And
I thought it was buffering. Achiana, I just think It's now literally 24, a little bit more than 24 hours since our president in South Africa made the announcement of certain restrictions when it comes to public places and gatherings of more than 100 people, etc. So I think we still have a long road ahead of us. But what I must admit, I've not done a lot of research over the last 24 hours, but here and there you get some info that pops up. And every time, doesn't matter what it was, the Ebola virus, the Black Plague, Second World War, whatever the scenario was, the world and humankind always came out better on the other side. So I think we just need to use this as an opportunity to strengthen ourselves and be the example for the people around us that potentially does not have the resilience that they need to get through this.
Yeah, I mean, if I can add to that, if we look at all of those big events, the one thing that unites us, I mean, we can even go back to the end of apartheid in South Africa, our World Cup rugby win in 95, World War II, not that the events are linked in any way, but other than that, and even 9/11, right? What links us is that for a moment, humans stop chasing their egos and all materialistic stuff and all of these distractions, and they connect back to their humanity. And they connect back to what really defines us as a species, and our ability to care and look after one another. And I think that we're being pushed back in that direction right now. I think this is that opportunity for our generation to really connect to what's important.
Yeah.
It's still important to swim, bike, run.
Obviously.
Obviously.
That's the basics.
Yeah.
And yeah, but before we start closing off, I think if it hasn't come up from some of the listeners while we were chatting now, I think everybody's wanting to know, is this podcast series carrying on? Are they going to hear from us further? I know myself and Christine spoke about it very shortly earlier today. And yeah, if we now carry on with this, and Renzo, you doing it in November and we're doing it March, April next year, I think it's important to keep the momentum going. Topics might change fluidly as and when certain things change in our society, but I think we're going to carry on. There might be changes, maybe once every 2 weeks an episode instead of every week, and we all have quite a lot of commitments. But I think as time goes by, we'll chat about that. But I think the series will continue, and we want the listeners to obviously get more involved. There's one or two individuals that have reached out. Maybe we can start exploring, bringing them in on the episodes every now and again. But we definitely want to continue.
Definitely.
So yeah, right to Ironman 2020/2021.
I think we keep the name as it is because it's just become the name.
Yeah.
But Road to Ironman 2020, or wherever the road ends up taking us.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I won't be seeing you this coming weekend either. Remember I was going to be coming through to Durban. So my brother's cancelled his trip from Dubai because of the travel restrictions. They probably won't be let in when they go back. So, I won't be in Durban this weekend.
Okay. That's a pity.
I know. But we'll see you at Comrades. And if Comrade doesn't happen, we're definitely coming on holiday. So.
Okay. You want to run the route anyway?
Yeah, maybe. And we're staying with your friend in his Airbnb, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, my pessimistic hat, which I don't wear often, I like to call it my realistic hat, My realistic gut says that Comrades is not going to be ready.
So that's my personal opinion as well, just based on the lead up and the planning that needs to go into the race. They also need to be mindful as an organization about how they manage that and the organization and planning that people put into that. I think they'll be cautious and smart about it.
And if you also take the time frames of the other countries when the infection started and until like China, when it got under control, I think we still have about anything from 8 to 12 weeks before we're even going to start seeing a reduction in the infection rate. So, it's going to be...
Never mind that. I mean, the whole of April and beginning of May has got at least 7 or 8 qualifying races across the country. So probably, I read a statistic today that 50% of the Comrades entries have not yet qualified for Comrades. So that's also a statistic that will have a real effect on Comrades as a race and on every individual there. So yeah, I'm quite interested to see.
This has been cancelled.
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't see you in Durban now, but we'll see you guys in June. Yeah. Okay. You know, in June, you know, whether you run Comrades or not, winter in South Africa is best enjoyed in Durban.
Exactly. I agree.
So at least you can escape the cold a little bit.
Yeah, true.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, guys. This has been a very sad episode, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I'm getting up at 4:30 to go for a swim at 5. I'm keeping the flag flying.
I'm flying to Joburg. Speaking of flying.
Good luck with that.
I'll be in altitude training this week.
Be safe. Use all your sanitizer.
Yes, definitely. Have a great week and don't forget to do the elbow.
Did you see that Kiffness?
And the other meme I saw was the first picture says he's telling you to sneeze into your elbow, and the second picture says you must greet somebody with the same elbow.
You gotta sneeze in your elbow and you gotta greet your elbow. And then it just looks like you're dabbing when you sneeze.
Yeah. I'm doing the foot tap from now on.
Yeah, I'm just winking, going, hi, how you doing?
Be careful.
How can I help with you ladies?
What can I do for you? Awesome. Cheers, guys.
Be safe, and yeah, we'll chat soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.